Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio and Intercom Station. Last hour here. Lots to talk about. Get back to the Warriors and the Toronto Raptors and what's going to happen the rest of the way. Game 6, which will officially now be the last game in Oracle, happens on Thursday evening. What time is that tip? Is that 6 or is it 6 Eastern? So 9:30, 10? That's late. These late games, I struggle to stay awake. I end up watching half of them the next day. 9 Eastern, so 6 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah, game 6, you can imagine that the Oracle fandom frenzy will be out of control. You think KD walks out on a boot, just gives raises his hand, gets the crowd jacked up. I think that probably happens. They need all the energy that they can get against a Toronto Raptors squad that, if it wasn't for Kawhi wearing out in the fourth quarter, might have stole one that the Raptors at one point, or that the Warriors at one point won, or were leading by double-digit points. Kawhi was relatively quiet in the first half. I don't think he scored a point. I don't think he scored a bucket in the first quarter. But obviously he rebounded because he is amazing like that. Had a double-double, 26 and 12 rebounds, 6 assists. And he's not normally a high-volume assister. But he was doing all he could to keep this game the way that it was. The Warriors just barely sneak away with a 106-105 win on the road. And they bring it back home now. And that's mostly because of Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, who were out of control from three-point range. Over 50% the Warriors shot from three-point range. And Quinn Cook, who had been 0 for 5 in game 4, he was terrible, kind of redeemed himself. And I positioned this earlier, and I think it's true. I feel this when I think about the Golden State Warriors and their mentality going forward. Without KD, and we'll get back into KD here in a second, but without KD having a chance to play. He's done. His Achilles is either ruptured or severely damaged. He will not be playing anymore in this 2019 NBA Finals. I think it's a good thing for the Warriors because now they can't, in the back of their minds, depend on KD to come save them. They have to find a way to do it themselves. These guys, and you see this when you watch these games, they're reluctant to take shots. There's just like a lack of confidence and putting a shot up. And maybe some of that's because of lack of being in this position before, the Quinn Cooks of the world, or maybe it's just age, as Andre Iguodala just hasn't shot well at all. But they can't rely on KD, and I think that's a good thing. But it brings us back to what happens with KD because of this injury. And we'll get your thoughts on this, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. This year's free agency class, or suspected free agency class, because some of these are opt-outs and guys are going to, expected to opt out, is very interesting. We've talked about it all season long. It's been a dominating piece of the conversation, sometimes in spite of what happens on game day. Kawhi Leonard will be a free agent. What happens if they win? Does he stay? It's really hard. We talked to Al Harrington yesterday, and it's interesting to think that if Kawhi Leonard wins a championship in Toronto, how can you not go back and try to defend it? That's just what you do. You win a championship, the team is relatively still intact. You got to go back and try to win a second one, but we'll see what Kawhi ultimately decides to do, win or lose this year's NBA championship. Klay Thompson, he's largely expected to stay with the Golden State Warriors. Kemba Walker, he's already said he wants to stay in Charlotte. But Kemba, this may be a monetary thing for Kemba because I don't know if the Hornets are going to offer him the Supermax, but if they do, it's $30 million plus more To stay in Charlotte, then to go someplace else. We'll see how that pans out. And then Kyrie Irving. The last one is KD. But as we mentioned before, this Achilles injury tear complicates it a little bit. KD is not free this year. He has an option this year, meaning he could opt out or he could decide to stay. And given the fact that he just tore his Achilles and he's not going to play a lot of the 2020 season, it might be in his best interest to stay and re-enter the free agent crop in 2020 when it's a much lighter, much less championed or storied group of guys. It's Anthony Davis is in that one. That could change if he goes someplace this offseason and the trade, largely suspected trade with either the Lakers or the Knicks or wherever else he ends up to, where David Griffin decides to trade him to. Draymond Green is a free agent, but Draymond's not going anywhere. He's going to be a Warrior for life. And then all the other ones are opt-out options. Mike Conley, DeMar DeRozan, Andre Drummond, Gordon Hayward. I mean, none that are jumping off the top of the screen. The two that should potentially be free in 2020 are KD, again, if he decides to stay with the Warriors this year, and Anthony Davis. And it just creates so much of a new speculation about what's best for Kevin Durant now that this injury is a big part of the narrative. I mean, it's going to be weird next year because we've talked about his rise from when he won the MVP back in 2015 and his successes, yet ceilings that he kept reaching at with the Oklahoma City Thunder and Russell Westbrook. He ultimately decides to go leave and win championships with the Golden State Warriors. Some people thought it was, you know, it was cheap of him, but look, he wanted to play easy basketball, and we saw it. Two NBA Finals MVPs, and KD has become the narrative right alongside LeBron James in the NBA. Well, the early 2019 season, and likely a good portion of 2020 as well, Kevin Durant's going to be unavailable. He's just not going to be in the conversation. We'll still be talking about him because of the free agency implications of Kevin Durant. But what's best for KD? I'll be honest. I think because he suffered this Achilles injury, whether it's a complete tear or whatever, he's going to need some sort of procedure. It's best for Kevin Durant to stay in Golden State and rehab with the staff, the medical staff that's there. Well, even though I know he's in New York getting a second opinion. So wherever he decides to ultimately get the surgery and then ultimately rehab, I think it's best in his best interest to stay with the Golden State Warriors. And I laid this out earlier because the Golden State Warriors are going to be good whether or not Kevin Durant is there for the regular season or not. They're as long as they hold on to Klay Thompson and those younger pieces, the Quinn Quicks that we're talking about, the Jordan Bells, etc. And they accent their roster a little bit, they're going to be good. They're not going to miss the postseason. Kevin Durant has a chance, if he stays with Golden State, to come back at some point and push them deep into the postseason, if not to the finals again, after not playing a lot of the season. So to me, the best place for KD, especially with this injury, is to stay in Golden State. I know that's disappointing for most hopeful teams, Knicks fans, etc. Where do you want him to go? Where do you think he should go? 855-212-4227. Samter, what do you think?
Well, here's the question. Do you think that he should stay in Golden State just for the remainder of this contract and then a free agent next year? Or should he just stay in
Golden State? He's going to become a free agent next year regardless. I don't think he should opt. I mean, we talked to Al Harrington yesterday, and Al was right. He basically said KD could rip his knee up, tear his Achilles, whatever. He's still going to get the max, right? And so it doesn't matter because he's such a good player. However long it takes for him to rehab from this Achilles injury, he's still going to get the max because he's so great. And every team knows that. The problem, though, is that if he decides to opt out and do it, go into free agency right now, this year, with the four other Ks, I should say, Kawhi, Clay, Kimba, and Kyrie, whoever signs him, you're not going to feel it right away. It's going to be like you're just like waiting. You're waiting for KD, and that creates this unnecessary pressure on KD. Whereas if he stays with the Golden State Warriors, where they know him, he knows them, the system is very familiar to him, he can have a chance to come back impact this team in a positive way whenever he gets healthy in the postseason, and then go into free agency in 2020. So to me, it makes sense to stay. And I know that crushes the dreams of a lot of teams that believed that they were going to get KD, including BT's Knicks. But to I don't see it. I don't see how he could decide any other way, because it just creates too much of a, I don't know, an odd intro for KD to come, and he's got an Achilles injury, and he's not going to play until March. You know, it's just weird.
Well, I mean, March at the earliest. I mean, some of these guys, it takes them even longer to get back.
You're right.
I mean, at the end of the day, he might not even play at all next season.
That's a great point.
And maybe if he does go to another team, he just sits out the entire season, kind of like what Kawhi did with the Spurs. Why take that chance? And look how it's helped Kawhi with what he did. But at the end of the day, also, like, if you're KD and you know you're not going to be with the Warriors, maybe you come back for the playoffs for one last championship run. But we saw what it meant for this Warriors team to have all these questions about KD. What's he going to do? What's he not going to do? Where's he going to stay?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better for the Warriors to have it again? Yeah. Like, wouldn't it be better for the Warriors to move on and for KD to say, you know what? If I'm going to start my future somewhere else, I might as well start it now. Sit on the sidelines in Brooklyn or New York or the Clippers or whatever. Sit back, get to know my new coaches, get to know my new teammates, get settled into a new city while I take a year off.
But let me ask you this, Amter. Who do you see? Whose team is the Golden State Warriors right now? Whose is it?
Before this injury?
Yes.
I almost would have said KD, because everyone rallies around him. He has the two finals MVPs. Mm-hmm. He's cemented himself as the best player. Even though the heart of that team is Steph, before the injury, I could have said that KD was... Now it's definitely Steph. Steph.
But here's the thing. And not that there's... I don't think this is an acrimonious, like, star battle happening at Golden State, but it actually could be. This is Steph's team. For the longest time, it's been. It's organic. He built it. They won a championship before KD was here. They got to the five straight finals, right? There is an opportunity for Kevin Durant, and we've positioned this so many different ways. Like, he's going to leave Golden State because he wants to go to New York and create his own legacy. Right, we said that many times, and I don't know if that's true. That's just us speculating, because that's what we do when he doesn't give his, his take on his career, his legacy. He's got to create his own thing. If he does it in New York, it's going to be amazing, right? He resurrects the New York Knicks. Just think of how championed he'd be. Well, he's the best player in basketball right now. He's going to be championed no matter what he does, no matter where he goes. There's a chance. If he stays in Golden State and they make another run to the championship with him coming back and being a big part of it, to go to six in a row, and then he stays there and signs a long-term deal, and he still keeps growing into this the best player in basketball, and he goes to another one, to seven and to eight, it puts the Golden State Warriors in rarefied air. I mean, you're talking about the late 60s, and early 70s Celtics, right? We've done these comparisons. Who's the better team? Was it the Lakers? Was it the Bulls? Is it the Golden State Warriors? Well, if the Warriors go to six or seven straight finals in a row, and let's say they win a couple of those, Kevin Durant's legacy, this thing that we're talking about, he needs to leave Golden State and go to New York to build, becomes enormous. If he wins another finals MVP, not this year, obviously, but down the line with the Golden State Warriors, how can you build a better legacy? To me, I see it as KD staying in Golden State because of this injury, accidentally because of this injury, but it actually could be a good thing for him. 855-212-4227. What do you think? This frenzy that's about to happen in free agency in 2019, would it be better served for KD to have that frenzy in 2020. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Thailand, Sweden, and Chile are all looking up relative to goal differential in the United States in Group F because they obliterated Thailand. I mean, at what point do you just stop scoring goals? Do you just, like, chill, pass the ball around, kick it back to your goalie? I mean, seriously, it was, like, embarrassingly bad. But I guess for the sake of goal differential, you never have to worry about it for the rest of the group stage if you're Team USA. The U.S. Women's National Team just obliterated Thailand.
My issue isn't as much about them not stopping to score, because I think once you're on the field, mm-hmm. still score. But like I remember like Barry Sanders, you, when you scored a touchdown, you know, it's fun to celebrate, especially a big touchdown. But if you're winning, you just hand the ball to the ref. I don't understand why they're jumping each other's arms and dancing and singing and doing all these crazy things on their 11th goal. Like, what are you celebrating?
Hey, look, Alex Morgan had five. She's got to celebrate. You know, it's unprecedented. You're never going to do it again. No, well, maybe you will. Who knows? The United States is number one. They've won three World Cups, including last World Cup in 2015. They beat Japan 5-2 in the final. They're just dominant. They're just really, really dominant. We're taking your calls here, 855-212-4227. Let's hit John, who's out in Houston, 650. What's happening, John?
Hey, Tiki, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure, man. What do you got?
I just wanted to tell you, fact is sometimes stranger than fiction. I remember when KD first hurt his calf, the show put out a hypothetical. What happens if he tears his Achilles? And yeah. Who would have ever thought that this is what we'd be talking about 3 weeks later?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people speculated that at the time. We know that it was labeled a mild strain, but it didn't look like a mild strain. And then after, you know, 2 weeks or so, when he's not even practicing, it just made you scratch your head a little bit. So you're right about the Achilles. You think he was wrong to try to come back and play?
Wow, that's a hard call to make. You know, like you said, the athlete always knows his body. One thing I do blame the Warrior management for, though, is that when this first happened, they kept on saying he's day-to-day.
Yeah.
And if you're other players and fans of the Warriors, you have to be saying, wait a second, if he's day-to-day, how come he's not going?
So you're right.
Then they start questioning him.
You're right.
And, you know, they have the best medical facilities, the best doctor care. I have to think that with the MRIs they've done, they had to know exactly how serious this injury was.
No, I think you're right, John, and I appreciate you with the call and for hanging on. But when you say day-to-day, and again, the problem over – and maybe this is why he felt pressured to play last night. There was a few articles that were written in The Athletic and other places that had anonymous sources within the – Warriors locker room, and I hate those. I absolutely can't stand that. Questioning, well, they say he's day-to-day. He's been day-to-day for 32 days, right? Why? He must. What's wrong with him? He should be out there, right? He's day-to-day. You're not day-to-day for a month. And so all of these people, or I don't know, these narratives started questioning the toughness of Kevin Durant, and that's unfair to Kevin Durant. Now, what's interesting, and D-Cell said this in my ear, and he's right, KD wasn't shocked when he went down. I mean, he was pissed. You saw him just hand the ball away. Luckily, I forgot who got back and stopped the score from happening. But, I mean, he wasn't shocked. He probably knew this is what was going to happen. It just sucked that it happened that way because you could tell he felt good. Let's get to Rusty. We haven't talked to Rusty in a while. Out in Montana. Rusty, how you doing, a friend?
Doing good, Tiki. How you doing, brother?
I cannot complain, man. What do you think about this?
Well, I was thinking, look, Kawhi last year.
Yeah, that's right. Kawhi sat out all of last year with a quad injury.
Yeah.
Because he didn't trust it.
Didn't take any of the media pressure or anything else, and he just sat out, and then he trade me if you don't want me.
Yeah, you know what? And Rusty, it's interesting you bring up, because it's an interesting parallel. Because Kawhi Leonard sat out all of last year because he didn't trust that his quad was going to hold up. And he did the right thing by him. The difference is Kawhi doesn't care, right? I said this when we were talking to Coach Cal a little bit earlier in the show. Kawhi is that anti-star in the NBA. He doesn't listen to his mentions. I'm sure he's on social media, but you never see him say anything profound on social media. It's not like he's clamoring for your approval, for your validation. He knew it was right for him. Kevin Durant is the opposite of that. Kevin Durant does nothing but care about what people say about him. So you can see how when it's ultimately on the athlete, if you're influenced by what's said about you, sometimes you do things that aren't necessarily in the best interest of you. Let's get to Aaron down in Abilene, Texas on 98.1 The Ticket. Thanks for hopping on, Aaron. How you doing, man?
Hey, Teak.
Hey, what's happening?
Good to hear from you. I love the show.
Appreciate you.
Missing a little bit of Soapbox Tyranny.
Yeah. He's playing golf right now. He's on a golf box, right? A golf tee right now.
Well, listen, man, about last night's game, I just want to say for the record, man, this has been one of the best series that I've seen in years.
I agree. I mean, it's different. It felt like it's been out of control, but the narrative is every game is something different. It's not what you could have predicted. I agree with you 100%.
You guys are going to have so much to talk about for weeks, unraveling all the layers there on that onion because
you're right.
It's happened in this series. But one thing I'm not hearing last night, man, Cousins went off, man. He was balling last night, and
yeah.
he made up for the loss of KD. But will he do it again? I doubt it.
Well, yeah.
And they've got to be able to match that defensive effort that they got from Golden State last night. And Toronto, my God, can somebody else shoot the ball? I mean, somebody else has to step up. And, you know, they got a lot. Golden State got a lot out of their bench last night, and I don't know that they can duplicate that.
Yeah.
And didn't it seem, Teak, that no matter how – I mean, it just felt like Golden State should have been up by 20 points at
yep.
during those games. And you look back and they're like, oh, wait a minute, they're only down by six.
Yeah.
What's going on?
You're right.
It's such a weird game.
It was. And it's been a weird series. Like DeMarcus Cousins, and you pointed out, like game two, he was the hero. Right, without him giving that effort in their second game actually at the Scotiabank Arena, I mean they don't win that one, and the series is over. Right, they get swept if you think about it because Toronto won twice out at Golden State. But Boogie had 14 points and 6 boards, and he was a hustle guy. But the problem, and we got to get this consistently from DeMarcus Cousins, we didn't get it the last time we saw him. Right, he gave that great effort in game two and really kept Mark Gasol in check and really nullified him. But in game three, he was a shell of that. So, like, this inconsistency, this roller coaster won't work as it pertains to DeMarcus Cousins. And I think what makes the finals so compelling is once you get to game three or four, you know the team, right? You know what they're going to do to you or try to do to you. You know how they're going to defend you. You know what's going to work. And then it comes down to execution. And I think in spurts, the Golden State Warriors, even without KD, can out-execute anybody. But it's not sustainable for them because they live and die so much by the three-pointer. And when you get some of these bit players, I don't mean to call them bit or insignificant, but the guys who aren't used to getting heavy minutes, taking shots and just like missing rims, it gets frustrating from a Warrior standpoint. Let's get Zabrina, who is up in Toronto on 1270. Welcome, Zabrina. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And we're out here, we're rooting for the Raptors, and we're really enjoying the series.
Yeah, are you disappointed you didn't bring it home at home for the Raptors last night?
It hurts. It hurts, but you know,
very poetic. The Raptors run has been very poetic.
Yeah.
So for the six to win in six, it just makes sense, right?
I hear you. I mean,
it's six.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say was I'm pretty disgusted with the Warriors organization.
Why? What happened?
I feel like they definitely pressured Durant to come back, and I feel like they also pressured Looney to come back. Both of them were hurt last night. And I feel like it was a complete desperation move.
Yeah, I mean, but Sabrina, isn't it ultimately on the athlete? You know, right? The coach and the training staff can always say, "We think you're ready. We're going to clear you, but it's your decision." They ultimately, the player has to make the decision, right?
Yes, absolutely. And the players always want to play, with the exception of Kawhi.
Yeah.
The players always want to play.
That's a good point. That's good for you guys, though. By the way, do you have a Kawhi jersey?
I don't have a jersey. I have a T-shirt.
All right, but if you all win a championship, even if he leaves, are you going to get a Kawhi jersey?
I would, honestly.
All right,
he's the greatest director of all time. It was worth it, no matter what.
Sabrina, we appreciate your call. You know, it's interesting she says that about, because I thought Looney was done. And Kevin Looney's not Kevin Durant, but I thought that he was done for the series when they said he had a broken clavicle. I mean, you have a broken collarbone. You're not playing basketball. But there he was for the last 2.5 games. He goes down. He's definitely he's likely out. I won't say he's definitely out, but he's likely out for Game 6 and probably the series. And KD is certainly out for the series. But I think it's more on the players. Ultimately, you are the champion. You are the protector of your own body. Staff and coaches, influence, media, whatever, social media can only tell you so much. Ultimately, it's on you to do what you do. If Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors win this title, will he be remembered as the greatest Raptor ever? He only has played 60 games. Maybe. We'll talk about it next. But first, here's an update from Jay Berman. The Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. This week, it was Eduardo Escobar, the Diamondbacks' third baseman, is 9 for his last 17, including 2 homers and 5 RBIs last night in Arizona's 13-8 win over the Philadelphia Phillies. Escobar is on pace to set career highs in hits with 78, home runs with 17, and RBIs 54, tied for 3rd in the NL this season so far. The Diamondbacks will be looking for their 6th straight win, and Escobar will look to extend his hitting streak to 5 games tonight in Philadelphia. The Player of the Week was brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio, an Intercom company. Zabrina with a Z, not a Z, brought up a very, very, very interesting question that required us to do a little bit of researching and digging around. Who's the best player in Toronto Raptors history? Who is it?
And if the Raptors win the title, is Kawhi the guy?
I mean,
well, she said Kawhi's the best player of all time if they win.
Well, Sabrina might be on to something, but we'll make you wait for that. Here's the blast.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
So we talked a little bit about Joe Mixon and the Bengals looking to shock the world. Seems like the Steelers aren't getting as much love as they used to. Big Ben was asked about whether or not he feels the Steelers are underdogs this year.
Ben, Joe Hayden said he felt like underdogs for the first time. Do you feel like that too, and how motivating is that? So?
I've been here a long time. We're still the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're still going to go out and try and win every football game. It's been a long time since we've been to the big one. But like I said, if everyone puts forth the effort that we all think we can and with the talent that we have in this room, we feel pretty confident that we can be pretty good.
We're the Steelers.
We're still the Steelers.
We're still the Steelers.
Like, get off me, punk.
Should they be? Are they the underdogs? Are they?
You know, here's what's interesting. We know that they lost a division last year because they were terrible down the stretch. Lost way too many games where they shouldn't have. Played too tight. And, you know, some of that is because Le'Veon Bell was not around, sitting out the season, and they just didn't have what it took. Whereas the Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson were sparked by his running ability. And they were, I mean, the stats with the Ravens putting up 300 yards a game last year was ridiculous. So you look at the Ravens this year, because that's the team that you want to look to. Their skill position players are interesting. Willie Snead, who's a utility guy, formerly of the New Orleans Saints. But they drafted Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown from Oklahoma, who is a burner. You put him in the mix with Lamar Jackson. Mark Ingram signed there as an unrestricted free agent this past offseason. Ken Dixon and Gus Edwards, they had really good years as well as a running back. They have a lot of skill position talent. Greg Roman is their offensive coordinator. I'm going to tentatively say that the Ravens are the favorite, but I can't discount the Pittsburgh Steelers. I do think that they're right there in the conversation, just a tick behind kind of how they finished last year with the Baltimore Ravens. But they're close second.
And the Browns third?
The Browns got to prove it to me, man. I mean, I know people want to, you know, put them in the Super Bowl already. You got a bunch of egos that you got to manage right now.
Put them in the Super Bowl. Browns are winning the Super Bowl.
Freddie Kitchens, who's a rookie head coach, by the way. I mean, let's pump the brakes until we see it.
Number two, R.J. Barrett says he's only going to meet with the Knicks. Do you think this is the right move, or is it kind of the wrong attitude?
I mean, it is what it is. The Knicks pick third, so I guess it makes sense. At the end of the day, basketball for these kids, he's 19 years old, right? And as much as you're going to learn from sitting down with him, if you really want the kid, you're going to draft the kid, even if you haven't met with him. It gets to the point where you feel like with the NBA draft, it's really, you know, the first four or so, usually first four. Sometimes it's not even, doesn't even go that deep. It's usually, sometimes it's two or three. You know where they're going. Zion Williamson is going to the New Orleans Pelicans. Ja Morant likely go to Memphis. And then the Knicks are going to pick the next best guy, who is R.J. Barrett. It makes sense. You can't get too worked up about it because the NBA draft is as straightforward as it seems. It's so much of a crapshoot. Any one of those guys could be a bust or they could be an all-star. They're 19 years old. It's impossible. I mean, literally impossible to predict it.
It's not impossible.
Yeah,
it's just very difficult.
It's very difficult.
I think, you know, a lot of guys were right on that LeBron James kid.
Yeah, but LeBron was, he was a freak.
So it doesn't make it impossible.
Okay, makes it nearly impossible.
There you go.
Stop being literal.
Speaking of the NBA draft, the Grizzlies, who have the number two pick, have named Bucks assistant Taylor Jenkins as their next head coach. Now, obviously, we don't know a lot about Jenkins, but if you have the number two pick and you know you're going Ja Morant, which is where all the speculation is and what the Grizzlies have kind of intimated they're going to go that way, hence the R.J. Barrett with the Knicks situation.
Yeah.
Do you have to hire a coach that you know is going to run a system that is going to benefit the guy that you're expecting to draft in the next couple months?
I don't necessarily think so. I think you have to take stock of what you have. And if you're the Grizzlies, it's not a ton. And so there's a reason that they're in the lottery, right? And Mike Conley is probably on his way out either next year. Who knows if there's a trade that happens before because he can opt out. Who knows? So you're kind of starting anew. And again, this kind of goes back to the same conversation we're just having about R.J. Barrett. Ja Morant, who is a great shooter. I mean, he reminds you of these guys that have no fear and will just let it loose. But I think you have to institute a system that he's going to like, but not necessarily dictate it directly to his style. I don't know much about Taylor Jenkins. I do know that being a Bucks assistant under Bud was very beneficial to him because we saw the difference that it made for the Milwaukee Bucks. But you can't kowtow to a 19-year-old. Again, same conversation that I was just having about R.J. Barrett.
Big 12 Commissioner Bob Boolsby said all transfers from all sports should be forced to sit out a year with no exceptions. Currently, in the NCAA, only football, men's and women's basketball, men's baseball, and men's hockey have to sit out a year. All the other sports, they can play immediately if they transfer from one school to another.
This is interesting.
Obviously, based off of the popularity of the sport and the transfer rule going back and forth. So is he right, or is the NCAA right, that certain more popular sports should work under different rules?
I think he's like 180 degrees wrong. I think he should, like, every sport should not have to sit out, right?
So the answer to my question is none.
I think the reason you sit out, you make kids sit out, is to punish them, potentially lose a year of eligibility in these high-profile sports where if you feel disgruntled, you can't go someplace else. But, I mean, if you're playing field hockey and there's a coaching change or whatever, the experience isn't right for you, why should you be punished if you decide to go to a different school and sit out a year? That doesn't make any sense. I can understand in the major sports, but even then I don't understand in the major sports because it's still all about competing. If the circumstances aren't right for you at a school, because we're growing, or at least trying to help grow young men and young boys and girls into men and women, they should be at the right place, both academically and extracurricularly, which in this case, the sports, you shouldn't punish them by sitting out. No, he's wrong about this. I know what he's trying to say, but I think he's wrong.
Last one. The Forbes released its highest paid athletes in the world list, as they do every single year. Number one, Messi. Number
soccer.
Two, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Soccer.
Then Neymar.
Soccer.
Canelo Alvarez.
He's in trouble, Neymar.
Yes. Neymar, well, I don't know if you saw all of the tweets and all of the texts that he posted. Kind of stupid, but it makes you start wondering about the accusations. But who knows? Mm-hmm. We'll see. Canelo is four, boxing. And obviously he's not. He's a Mexican boxer. And Federer from tennis.
Wait, Canelo Alvarez made $94 million last year?
I mean, I believe he had two fights. And you have those two fights. That's enough. And one of them was Triple G, and you make
significant. That's a good point.
Plus, you also signed that huge deal with DAZN.
DAZN, yeah.
Which is probably a yearly salary thing, and I don't know if they're counting that as his overall numbers, but even so.
And the Fed man, Roger Federer, $93.4 million, who is the greatest tennis player of all time, 101 championships, 20
is
Grand
he?
Slams, but he's owned. He's owned on clay by Nadal.
He's owned, period, by Nadal.
That's a good point.
But anyway, no American player is in the top five.
Are you surprised?
Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, LeBron James, Steph Curry, and KD round out the top 10. But why do American sports athletes not make the kind of money that some of these international stars make?
Because there's only 300 million people in the United States. And as much as we think people care about this, there's so many more people across the country, or across the world, who care about, especially soccer. Let's not forget soccer. And we brought this up earlier. I don't know if we brought it to air, but we brought this up earlier. Soccer stadiums, they fit like 200,000 people. I mean, the biggest stadiums in the United States are usually some of these college venues that are over a little bit over 100,000. I know Tennessee is, Michigan probably is as well. But, I mean, I'm sure they're filled on big rivalry games, but if Michigan's playing, I don't know, Kansas State, or maybe not Kansas, maybe that's a bad example. Think of the bad team in the Big Ten. It's not full. Soccer matches are, especially in the Premier Leagues and the Bundesliga, the upper levels of European soccer, those things are full all the time. And the merchandising, and more importantly, the advertising is everywhere. Everywhere. So it's just more money that's in the system, and it's not shared in Europe, right? It's not like you got soccer and football and baseball and basketball. It's soccer, basically. Maybe cricket in some of these other countries. But the advertising and the interest, fan interest, is much greater in other parts of the world, which means more money.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right, here are the options for the Raptors' greatest players of all time. Their number one, first ever draft pick was Damon Stoudemire back in 1995. I guess Kyle Lowry's on this list because he was the win share champ. I'll put that in quotes for the team. You see this on Basketball Reference, the win share champ like four or five times. But Kyle Lowry's had, I think, too many postseason runs assisted by DeMar DeRozan that just came up short. Now, part of that's because they were playing against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Chris Bosh should be on this list because Chris Bosh made three straight All-Stars there. He was stud. But then when you think about Chris Bosh, he was there for 7 years. I think he was there for 7 years. You say Chris Bosh, what do you think? You don't think Toronto. You think the Miami Heat. He's part of the first big three, the first super team. So I wouldn't say Chris Bosh. Vince Carter would be the one, but Vince Carter, I'm not sure, is beloved in Toronto. I can't believe that man is still playing. I was down in Atlanta a few months ago, and he was out there on the court. I'm like, he's my age. I literally watched you in college, when I was in college. But Vince Carter, let's not forget, he asked to be traded from Toronto, and he's not loved up there. Maybe an appreciation of who he is and his skill set. But if Kawhi Leonard wins a championship, which, by the way, none of these other guys have at all, even though nobody up in Toronto has his jersey, if he wins a championship, I'm not going to answer. We're going to debate this tomorrow with Deke and Tierney. Is Kyle Lowry the best Toronto Raptor ever if he wins a championship? That's tomorrow on Deke and Tierney. See you tomorrow.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.